Today's WBFO brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
An interim director is now in charge of the Buffalo VA Medical Center, as the facility contends with dozens of reports of administrative failures that left local veterans awaiting proper care. The Buffalo News reports Sean DeFries, associate director of the VA Finger Lakes Healthcare Center, will temporarily oversee operations in Buffalo. While an inspector general report on the troubled facility is expected in the coming weeks, Congressman Nick Langworthy says he's aware of cases in which cancer treatment was delayed due to administrative issues. Earlier this week, Executive Director Michael Swartz and Chief of Staff Dr. Philippe Jaoud were reassigned while an investigation continues. A Buffalo man who is now in custody in South Carolina will be charged in connection with a weekend murder on Henrietta Avenue. Buffalo police say 56-year-old James Dietz is awaiting extradition in Greenville County, South Carolina, and will face second-degree murder charges for the death of 66-year-old Michael Fronczak. Fronczak was found dead last Saturday afternoon when officers were responding to a welfare check. An autopsy determined Fronczak died as a result of blunt force trauma. And 8 nonprofits that support the entrepreneurial ecosystem in the region will share over $186,000 from a competition that attracted 120 applicants. The Springboard competition announced its winners yesterday, among them $15,000 to Stitch Buffalo to expand training in the textile arts and $25,000 to Cooperative Buffalo for their Changemakers Fellowship Program. Police are investigating 2 separate fatal motorcycle crashes on Thursday. Buffalo police say a motorcycle operator was driving north on Ohio Street near Conway Park around 7:45 last night when he apparently lost control and struck a light pole. The 40-year-old male, whose name has not been released, was declared dead at the scene. DePue police are asking for the public's help as they investigate a motorcycle crash that occurred around 3:30 p.m. on Broadway near Indian Road. Police say a commercial vehicle was involved in the fatality. An 18-year-old student at Canisius University faces a charge of making a terroristic threat following a Thursday morning incident at the school. Buffalo police say 18-year-old Wyatt Losey was arrested after they observed a Snapchat post that was considered quote-unquote threatening in nature. Detectives with the Threat Management Unit say they quickly identified the creator of the post and his location. A temporary extreme risk protection order was also issued. The YMCA Buffalo Niagara says it will invest $10 million into Buffalo's east side. Officials say the William Emsley YMCA has, quote, served as a haven of hope and motivation for all ages. However, they recognize the need for more services. According to a release, a reimagined YMCA will include improved senior, healthy living, and child care spaces. The move looks to respond to several challenges on Buffalo's east side, where 68% of children do not have access to structured activities.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Canada's 2 biggest railways are preparing to restart operations and could begin rolling in just days. That comes after the federal government in Ottawa intervened in the labor dispute between the Teamsters and the Canadian National and Canadian Pacific Kansas City Railways. WBFO correspondent Dan Karpinchuk has details.
The intervention came swiftly, less than 24 hours after the 2 railways locked out a combined 9,300 rail engineers, conductors, and yard workers as operations ground to a halt. At risk was the movement of about $1 billion a day in goods, threatening a crucial link in the country's supply chains and even the Canadian economy. After being urged for days to intervene, Federal Labor Minister Stephen MacKinnon finally stepped in.
As Minister of Labor, I am using my authorities under the Canada Labor Code to secure industrial peace and deliver the short and long-term solutions that are in the national interest. Under Section 107 of the Canada Labor Code, I have directed the Canada Industrial Relations Board to assist the parties in settling the outstanding terms of their collective agreements by imposing final binding arbitration.
MacKinnon's announcement came 17 hours after the lockout that ground rail movement to a halt. Teamsters Canada says it's disappointed with what it calls a shameful decision and that it will review the minister's intervention. but picket lines would remain in place. It also says the government has allowed the railways to go around a union that was trying to protect rail safety. McKinnon still insists the government's position is that the best outcome would be an agreement reached at the bargaining table. Most provincial and opposition leaders supported the intervention, but one key opposition leader did not, and that could spell trouble for the government of Prime Minister Justin Trudeau down the road. New Democratic Party leader Jagmeet Singh called the decision cowardly and anti-worker. Trudeau's minority government depends on the New Democrats in a confidence and supply agreement, which runs out next year, just in time for a national election. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
For Theatre Talk on WBFO, I'm Anthony Chase.
And I'm Peter Hall.
And that curtain up moment's getting closer and closer. You and I headed back up to the Shaw. God love them, they keep going. So I need to ask, how was the Spiegel tent?
Well, high energy. It is an interesting construction. You feel as if you're in an enclosed merry-go-round. The mirrors are all around. And the actors, singers in this case, singers, actors, walk among the tables as they would in a real cabaret. So it was kind of fun. The show that I saw was called Cotton Club.
And who directed this?
Oh, this was directed by one of our favorites, Kimberly Rampersad.
Okay.
She's very entertaining, especially when Jeremiah Sparks sang Minnie the Moocher, and without any prompting, when it came to the Heidi Heidi Ho, the audience spontaneously joined in.
Knew what to do. Well,
we knew what to do.
Old enough to remember Cab Calloway. In the Spiegel tent. Okay.
In the Spiegel tent.
So that was 2 p.m, and you saw one of those morning things, right?
We did. They have a show like that every year, and they're always at 11:30. They go an hour at best. This was the Orphan of Chow non-stop activity based on a story from the 13th century about a revenge that is building over generations. Very stylized. It was so much fun.
Wow, if only revenge could be enacted in 90 minutes in real life.
45 minutes, actually.
45 minutes. Wow, no intermission. Bliss. I'm looking on toward the fall schedule, and people are always asking what to see. This I could mention. It's not exactly on our beaten track. The Riviera Theater in North Tonawanda, there on Webster Street, beautiful old silent movie house with a Wurlitzer organ with all the bells and whistles. You know, you've been there, yes?
Oh, yeah. It's a fabulous venue.
Fabulous venue. And they do a lot of cover band type things. You know, they're not really the Beatles, but they're an incredible facsimile, that type of deal. So I'm looking at the schedule, and the day before Thanksgiving, this November, Charo. Now, you remember Charo, yes? Spanish, the coochie coochie girl. She was April on Love Boat. And I'm thinking, well, who wants to see a Charo impersonator? No, it's the real Charo.
She's still alive?
She was born, according to Wikipedia, and apparently her altered birth certificate in 1951.
Wait a minute, altered birth certificate?
You don't know about this? Her naturalization papers say she was born in 1941, but when she got her divorce from Xavier Cugat or whatever it was, she had her age amended, which I think is just daft and fabulous. She's one of the funniest people alive. And I think even that monkeying with her age is done for comedy. If they hadn't booked her at the Riviera, they could have booked her at the National Comedy Center in Jamestown. But I don't even think she's on their radar. One of the funniest interviews I ever saw Joan Rivers do was with Charo, because Joan, such a sense of comedy, knew when to let this woman go. I saw her perform in an off-Broadway play called Pete and Keeley. She is astonishing on stage, brilliant stand-up, but so specific to her personality, you do not even realize you are being had. Then she whips out her guitar and she plays classical Spanish guitar. It's astonishing. Yes, I have my tickets.
Now, is she the one with the bowls of fruit on her head?
No, that's Carmen Miranda. She's long gone. She was from Brazil. Charo is from Spain. She's still going, and she's only 35 or something. The guilty pleasures for the theater. People are asking what to see in New York, and one of the hottest tickets in New York right now is, have you heard about Oh Mary?
No.
Oh Mary is Cole Escola, who performs in drag. It is an 80-minute, no-intermission farce about Mary Todd Lincoln, which is a runaway hit at the Lyceum Theater, bringing in over 1 million a week. selling to 100% of capacity. If you want to see the show, you've got to book well in advance, a runaway Broadway hit.
Oh, Mary.
Oh, Mary.
Well, I love it because it's sort of a theme for Theater Talk this week. Everybody knows about My Fair Lady at the Shaw, but The Life of Chow, it's sort of a little something different. The Spiegel Tent with their various cabarets, something a little bit different. Charo, something a little bit different. And Oh, Mary, something a little bit different. I think that's why folks tune into the radio, Mr. Chase, to get these little tidbits from you.
Well, you know, at the moment, there are 25 shows on Broadway. 22 of them are playing at better than 90% capacity. So if you want to invest your money in something reliable, absolutely, plunk it down on the American Theater. You might consult with a financial specialist before you take my advice. For Theater Talk on WBFO,
I'm Peter Hall.
And
don't
I'm
forget
Anthony
to like
Chase.
Or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.